Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin here in Seattle, Washington, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Donald L. Ewart, a research immunologist and virologist who spent a good chunk of his career studying the molecular and cell biology of the immune system, as well as theories about its evolution. Dr. Ewart received his PhD from the University of Georgia in 1976, and as a microbiologist, he operated a research lab at the Wistar Institute in Philadelphia for nearly 20 years. The Wistar Institute is well known as one of the world's leading centers for biomedical research. His research has been supported by the National Institutes of Health, National Science Foundation, and the Department of Agricultural Grants, and has involved the immune system, viruses, and cellular biology. So, Dr. Ewart, it's really wonderful to have you on the show with us today.
Good to be here, Casey.
Well, Dr. Ewart, you and I have known each other for a number of years, but you might be new to some of our listeners who are not familiar with some of your ideas and your work, and in particular, some of your viewpoints on Darwinian evolution. But before we get into those scientific questions, can you talk to us a little about just your scientific and academic background and what got you interested in science?
I began my graduate training in bacteriology at Clemson University, where I ended with a terminal master's degree in bacteriology. I was drafted out of that into the Army, and where I spent time working in a clinical laboratory and actually did some research on the sideline there on adenovirus and herpes viruses. But during that time, I became really interested in the emerging field of immunology. It's really hard to appreciate how little we knew back then, but it became a very exciting field back in the early 1970s as we were discovering some of the major components of the immune system. So I went back after getting out of the Army and went to the University of Georgia, where I earned a PhD degree in microbiology and immunology. After that, I took a postdoctoral fellowship in a laboratory of a leading evolutionary immunologist and did research in comparative immunology in Birmingham, Alabama. Following that, I actually got a job. As my mother used to say, when are you going to get to work? And I went to the Wistar Institute in Philadelphia, where I spent the next approximately 20 years, and where I developed a research program and supported by a number of grants, which you've mentioned. After about 20 years, we decided to come to where our kids live down in Texas, and I took a job. And currently, I'm semi-retired and working as an independent research consultant involved in research in the cellular molecular biology of the auditory system. So that gives you a thumbnail sketch of my academic background. I could tell you a little bit about the research that I did during that period. For my master's thesis, I got involved in the evolution of bacterial populations as they reacted to infections by bacterial viruses called bacteriophages. I was most interested in the environmental impact of how bacterial viruses could regulate and control bacterial populations to maintain diversity. It was fascinating. It was an interesting field. But then after I got interested in immunology, I went on to the University of Georgia, where my doctorate program was in the mechanism involved in the local immune response to Newcastle disease virus. It was a applied project, but very basic research, since we really didn't know much about the immune system. There were no reagents available to actually study the different antibodies and immune globulins of the chicken. But we developed those and went on to study the basic local immune response of the chicken to Newcastle disease virus and developed approaches to vaccinating chickens. From there, armed with all my experience in working in this model system, the chicken, I went on to do work as a postdoctoral fellow in development and comparative immunology, where I was able to study the development of the lymphoid system in the chicken. And it was during that time that I characterized a class of proteins called the class 1 major histocompatibility antigens in the chicken. They're comparable or similar to the same antigens and perform basically the same functions that antigens do in other vertebrates. After that, went on and began to study the cellular immune mechanisms of cancer, the role of endogenous viruses in modulating immune responses to retroviruses, and the regulation of endogenous viruses during differentiation of the cells. This was at the Wistar Institute in the University of Pennsylvania campus. I also got involved in analyzing genes involved in the regulation of cell death. It's one of those genes, the BCL2 gene, was involved in cloning that gene and looking at the regulation of the gene relative to cell cycle. We also looked at the development of cancer, the oncogenes that are involved in the development of cancer. So that kind of gives you a background. It's broad area, and right now I'm involved with a team of researchers that are studying the cellular and molecular mechanisms of hearing, looking for ways to prevent hearing loss and to regenerate cells that die as we age or as a result of exposure to loud noise or, in the case of our servicemen, to blast explosions, IED explosions. And it's absolutely another system that is very fascinating. Auditory system, including the associated brain region, is a very complex system. We know a lot about how a sound wave is transferred to the cochlea, and each of the frequencies of that sound are converted into kind of ionic potentials into brain signals. But we know very little about how those signals are processed and interpreted by the brain.
Obviously, you've had a very accomplished career as a scientist. What originally got you interested in studying science when you were much younger and trying to explore what you wanted to do as a career?
I think I've always had the urge to turn over rocks. I had an innate curiosity, a questioning mind, and a strong desire to understand how everything worked and fits together. But, you know, when you go through undergraduate school, you know, the whole world's in front of you. So I thought about going into medicine, but after I got into doing research, I really got the research bug and realized how exciting it was to be on the edge of knowledge where few people had been before, maybe none. You're looking at systems and looking things in a way using technology. Then it was the emerging technology was the electron microscope. It had been tremendously challenging and thrilling to make discoveries, and I guess it was the ultimate in turning over rocks. I think this quest to find understanding led me to realize that science and philosophy were intertwined. However, I found very few researchers during my academic or during my professional career who had any similar interest in philosophical questions, let alone the philosophy of science. But I guess the differences may be just the way I'm wired. Science is, to me, one aspect of the search for the truth about reality. Some people are satisfied that that reality is made up of atoms and energy, and that's all. But I know there's more to it. The search for truth is what has motivated me to do research in science, as well as philosophy and religion. It has been a never-ending search that has brought me to a place where most things make sense to me now. However, I'm always willing to be surprised. I found few scientists, however, able to integrate their studies, which involve basically a narrow area of molecular biology, with the larger biological systems in which they operate, or with broader aspects of reality. It's only recently, in the past couple decades, that there's been a move beyond the reductionist approach that has dominated science during most of the 20th century to beginning to understand biological processes in a broader picture, that is systems biology. And I think as we do that, we're beginning to realize how incredibly complex biological systems are. That kind of gives you a sketch of how I got interested very early on, turning over rocks, and it continues to excite me to get into new areas.
Well, Dr. Yeer, you certainly have had a very distinguished career as a researcher, and I have no doubt that right now some of our listeners are thinking to themselves, okay, this guy sounds like a fairly legitimate, credible scientist. How on earth could it be that he's a skeptic of Darwinian evolution? So I want to get into that a little bit. So can you just briefly tell our listeners what got you interested originally in the debate over evolution?
That's a good question. I think as a young person living in Colorado and Michigan, I was fascinated with fossils and by dinosaurs and what happened to them. I remember having my dad take me to a lecture at Rocky Mountain School of Mines in Boulder when I was about 10 years old to hear a lecture on fossils that at the time I don't think I could understand. But nevertheless, I wanted to understand what happened to those dinosaurs. And during my academic training and research career as a molecular biologist, Darwinian evolution has been a side issue for the most part. It is basically irrelevant to, I'd say, about 99% of the research that's being done in molecular biology and biomedical research.
Now, hold on, Dr. Yeer. I want to stop you right there, because you obviously have spent a whole career at some of the top biology and molecular cell biology research institutions in the country, and you're telling me that Darwinian evolution is not necessary to do that research. But that's a little bit different than what I hear from the Darwin lobby. They tell me that Darwinian evolution is the cornerstone of biological thinking, and without Darwinian theory, virtually nothing would make sense in biology. That isn't necessarily true.
I know you're a lawyer, so it all depends on the definition of what makes sense. I think you hit on a very key issue, and it depends on what you mean by makes sense. I think it was Dobzhansky who said, nothing in biology makes sense apart from evolution. Well, the reality is, I think 99% of what we know about biological systems has been learned through empirical science, basically going in and, for the most part, doing reverse engineering, trying to figure out how systems work, doing experiments, getting ideas, and it has nothing to do with how those processes originated. 99%, if not more, of the research is independent of ontological questions of how those systems originated. Because for a basic fundamental reason, we're actually doing the experiments on ongoing processes, on living organisms, and studying in the laboratory, doing experiments in the laboratory. Evolutionary biology is outside the scope of empirical science, and as such, it has very little impact upon what we study. Those experiments and research on present processes are the foundation of all of biomedical research and medicine that we have today.
Well, it's very interesting to hear you say that, Dr. Ewart, and it seems to me, if I can just share my opinion, that a lot of biologists who claim that nothing makes sense except in the light of evolution, I think a lot of them know that they're kind of overstating their case for sort of rhetorical or polemical reasons. They're trying to put on this united front that Darwinian evolution is the end-all, be-all of biology. Sure, I'm sure to them it is very important, but they know that you can do a lot of biology without even thinking about questions about origins, and they know that what they're saying is really a little bit rhetorically outlandish, and they're sort of doing it for emotional effect to try to get people on the bandwagon with Darwinism. Well, Dr. Ewart, I think we're going to get into more about why you feel that Darwinian evolution is not the end-all be-all of science and why it perhaps is not even a very helpful explanatory theory in the next podcast. So, Dr. Ewart, can you come on another podcast with us?
I'll be glad to.
Great. Well, thanks so much, and stay tuned for more with Dr. Don Ewart. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.